Wendy and I were neighbors about 10 years ago, and she called me about 2 months ago and asked me if I would like to be a part of this. And so I was unclear on everything, and so I researched the company and looked up everything, and I thought it was a great fit, just as she had told me, that it just was perfectly in line. And I think the thing that jumped out at me was remembering when I was a student and we would speak amongst my friends and we'd say, you know, why are we taking these classes? Why are we taking biology or calculus or whatever the course may be? You know, how are we going to apply that down the road? And then seeing that this program is all about application, all about that 10-year plan, all about taking it from that eighth grade, ninth grade level and thinking past the end of high school. And I thought that was just awesome. And Mindy told me, she hears it all the time, that everyone says, you know, why didn't we have that when we were in school? I mean, who knows where we would have all been. But I thought it was a great fit, and it got me thinking about the mentors that I had growing up and whatnot. And I was told to watch out for, like, the 10-minute girl. Who's that? You get rid of that sign, okay? So a little bit about myself. You guys are probably asking yourself, how did I get involved in beach volleyball? My family's from New York originally, and they moved out to Southern California right before I was born. So I was fortunate enough to be born and raised here in Southern California, in Laguna Beach, to be specific, about 45 minutes south of here. And Laguna Beach is a huge volleyball town. I know a lot of the cities you're from, probably volleyball is unheard of, or they might not have a program or whatnot, but volleyball is the thing in Laguna Beach. And I grew up playing every sport that I could. I played, you know, soccer, I played baseball. My mom wouldn't let me play football. She thought I'd get hurt. Basketball and volleyball. And I played all those sports coming up, but once a year there was this tournament that came around every year called the AVP Pro Beach Volleyball Tournament. And it was huge. It was, if you can imagine, back in the mid-80s, there was no grandstands back then, no stadium, just the court. And if you wanted a good seat, you had to get down the night before. So you had, like, this huge party atmosphere. If you can imagine, the first 15 rows would be taken. And I had two older brothers that looked out for me. I lost my father when I was 7. And so they were my male role models, and my mom kind of let them control me or beat me up when they wanted to. but fortunately, I was able to go down to the beach the night before and see the festivities. And for, like, a 10-year-old, you're like, well, what's going on here? People bring couches down to the beach, and, you know, they're partying and whatnot. I'll leave some of the other stuff out. But you had to get down there early to get a good seat, because by morning it was 15 rows deep. And it was the coolest thing, you know, my eyes wide open. And at 9 o'clock, the tournament would start, and guys like St. John Smith, Randy Stoklos, Karch Karai, I don't know if you've heard those names before, but they would get on the court. And that was when I figured out myself. I said, you know, this is my dream. This is my vision. This is what I want to be when I grow up, is a beach volleyball player. I mean, give me a break. On the beach, on the weekend, you know, everyone's wearing next to nothing, having a good time. And these guys are actually, you know, making a living doing it. So I just said, that's what I want to do. So I thought about it. And as I got into high school, I narrowed my sports down to basketball and volleyball because of the similarities. You know, jumping, doing that whole thing, and staying away from football, even though I tried to be a wide receiver. But mom said no again. But right before that, I remember as I was talking about the people that affected my life and the few things that stick with you. And I remember in sixth grade, actually, my sixth grade PE teacher telling me that if I keep my grades up, I can write my own ticket anywhere that I want to go. And, you know, at 10, 11 years old, I didn't know what he was talking about. I didn't know what that meant, but I kept it in my mind, and it was always in my back of my mind, basically, keep your grades up and you can do kind of what you want to do. And at the same exact time, around a few years later, after sixth grade, I was in eighth grade. My brother was 5 years older than me, and he had all the talents I did in volleyball and in sports. And as an eighth grader, I watched, from my room, I'd come out, look down the hall, and the recruiters were there. The coaches were coming to recruit him to play volleyball and give him a scholarship. And no one in my family had ever graduated from college. So, you know, I'm a little kid looking like, what's going on, Mom? And this strange man, coach, and my brother talking about things. And UCLA came, you know, Stanford, USC, coaches like that. And, you know, it was kind of cool to watch. But then the summer came and went, and he went to school, went to summer school because he had to kind of raise his grades. And then the fall started, and he ended up going to like a junior college because the grades always got in his way. He didn't have the high enough GPA. So seeing that and hearing that PE teacher say, you know what, if you keep your grades up, you can write your own ticket, it started to make a little more sense. And seeing my brother still around, you know, he went to junior college for a little while, but then he was back in town. And if I didn't get a scholarship, or if any of it, we didn't, I know the perception of Laguna is really well off, but we were never well off. I would have been at a small college, a junior college, if I didn't get a scholarship. So if I wanted to go to a 4-year school, I knew that I had to keep those grades up. And, I continued to do so, learning those lessons from my brother as well, from hearing the coaches encourage me. And fortunately, I had those mentors saying, keeping my grades up. I was never a great student, but I had like a 3.5 average, something like that. So the strange thing is, 5 years later, we're in the same living room. The same coaches are here in the living room, sitting there. And it's kind of surreal, kind of ironic that now I'm the one being recruited. You know, USC, Stanford, Santa Barbara, Pepperdine, all the big volleyball schools. And I end up picking Pepperdine University, not only because of it's Pepperdine, if you guys know, it's like a resort, but a beautiful school, has a great academic reputation. But more importantly, I went there because of the coach. The coach name was Marv Dunphy, who had just coached the 1988 Olympic team to win a gold medal. So I thought, what a better place to be than to surround myself with winners. And I think that was a huge lesson. I wanted to go somewhere where someone could take me to a different level. So I ended up at Pepperdine. We won a national championship in 1992. I graduated in 94, and I couldn't get to the beach fast enough. Now I'm getting closer to that dream. I'm getting closer to becoming a professional beach volleyball player. A lot of guys go overseas and play indoor volleyball, but I wanted to play on the beach, so I was ready to go. I called up my brother. I'm turning professional. I'm ready to go because, like I said, he still had the skills. He was just a few years older, but, you know, he wasn't ready to go. And unfortunately, that would have been really fun, starting my career with my brother, but for some reason, he didn't get some of the tools of motivation, I guess, that I had, so I had to go elsewhere. And at that time as well, I said to myself, you know, I had checked out on the Olympics because beach volleyball wasn't even an Olympic sport then. It was just a sport that was played in Southern California, not really big. But in 94, 95, they voted it as a full-time sport in the 96 Olympics. So I was like, that's it. I'm at my dreams. Again, I can go to the Olympics. So I go out there, young kid, right out of college to the trials, and I just got my butt kicked. I mean, it was a rude awakening. And I said, you know, all right, I need to reevaluate everything. I need to think about this. I want to go to the Olympics, the next Olympics in 2000. If I don't win a tournament, how can I be on the Olympic team? How can I be one of the best in the world, best in the country, if I haven't won a tournament? So that's where I put all my energy and all my focus, was on winning a tournament. And as Mindy mentioned, in 1997, I ended up winning the Hermosa Beach Open here in Southern California, which is a big event. It's one of the more historic events on the tour. And that's what she was talking about. I'm playing it this weekend. If you guys are in town, you should come down. I haven't played in a couple of years. So I'm going to, you know, dust the, what do they say, dust the cleats off, but we don't wear those. And get out on the sand. So 97, I win that title. And then I focus on 2000. And I start playing with Eric Fanoi Moana, the guy who you saw in there. You guys say that, Fanoi Moana? yeah, tough last name. So we focus and we're fighting, and we finally we make the last tournament. It's basically a 2-year qualification process, and we qualify the last tournament 45 days before the Olympics. We beat out Karch Karai and his partner to make the Olympic team. Okay, and at the time, Karch Karai is a 3-time Olympic gold medalist. And everyone's like, oh, you know, he should go. It's like Michael Jordan beating out a guy like that. I guess you would parallel it to that. No one really wants the little guy to go. They want the guy they're familiar with. But we had other plans. So we've made, 45 days before the Olympics. We go into the Olympics. We're seated 9th, if you can imagine. So no one really given us a chance. But the key was, when we went to the Olympics, Eric and I would always just talk about, let's bring home some jewelry. You know, let's take home some jewelry. We don't care any type of medal. Like, you know, you guys are, someone's bringing home some jewelry today. That means, you know, you're contributing to the medal count. You're doing something. So we went in with that focus. And our main focus was, let's play one match at a time. Let's play one game at a time. Let's play one point at a time. And that's how we went in with that focus, trying to somehow get a medal. We beat Germany the first round. Then we beat Norway the second round. Then we beat the United States, another United States team, the third round. And then we ended up in the semifinals. In the semifinals, we played this team from Portugal that was a really good team, really good ball control, really steady, don't make a lot of errors. And back then, I don't know how many of you played volleyball, but we played to 15. You had to serve to score. And after an hour and 10 minutes, the score was 10-all. So you can imagine how stingy neither team was giving up points. So after 10-all, they get the 11th point. Then we call a timeout because we need to slow the momentum down. Let's call a timeout. We go over, we sit down, clean the glasses off. On the way to get up, the whistle blows. Let's get up. We look up at that ref, and he pulls out a red card. And he goes, delay of game, United States. And we were dumbfounded. We looked around like, what's going on? We looked at the delegation, can you guys help us out? And the ref's like, and well, red card's a point. So now that's 12-10. And I mean, we, you've seen athletes lose it. we were on the verge of losing it. But at the same time, you know, Eric's angry, I'm angry, and we're kind of freaking out. And what are we going to do? And what goes through my mind at that point is, I don't know why or how it went through my mind, but I fast-forwarded 30, 40 years and talking, you know, with your boys. Oh, I remember my Olympics and that referee, you know, that guy who stole it from us. And that pissed me off. So I said, you know, I don't want that to be my fate. I don't want that to be my future. And so basically it was an obstacle. I didn't have a choice of him making that call, but from that point I had a choice of how I'd react. So I finally got my serve back. And like I said, an hour and 10 minutes, 10-all. They got the 2 points. It's 12-10. I got my serve back, served it cross court, hits the line, and we got an ace to make it 11. Then I go back to serve. Serve it down the line, another ace, 12-all. Serve another ball and make a defensive play and go up 13-12. So we switch on increments of 5 so no one has a stronger side, you know, due to the wind or the sun. So we're up 13-12, and you usually have a side change and you go sit down. We didn't sit down. There's going to be no more phantom red cards. Okay? So we head over to the other side, and granted, I'm still serving. Serve a ball. Eric blocked it 14-12. And then I go back to serve, and And you're like, wow, we're one point away here from possibly being in a gold medal final. And I go back to serve and ace them right down the middle. So 5 points in a row right after playing for an hour and 10 minutes. And now I talk to people and they say, I should thank the ref. So, I mean, and who knows, maybe I should, I'm not sure. But we get to the final, we get to the gold medal final, and it's a couple days later. The Olympic tournament's really interesting because it's spread out. Usually a tournament's like really condensed, you're playing multiple matches in one day, but the Olympics, you have a few different, you have a day off, and then we had a whole day to think about this gold medal match, and we stayed in the Olympic Village, which was awesome. I mean, you're with the best athletes from around the world watching to see how they train and things like that. But we had to take a bus about 40 minutes from the village to the court. And you can imagine that being a nerve-wracking day. I mean, you have an opportunity to play for an Olympic gold medal. I didn't think it would ever happen again, and it didn't. So we're in this bus going down there, and I'm thinking to myself, we've already won the silver medal, which is a weird feeling because you're going to an event. You've already accomplished that goal of bringing home the jewelry. Now it was, let's do something that we haven't earned yet. Let's bring home a gold medal. And as Eric said in the video, it was a weird 2 out of 3 format. The Olympics are weird. You guys, it's like you see the thing on TV, but it's all about, I couldn't even get a ticket to the opening ceremonies for my family. It's just, there's a lot of weird things that happen. And in the final, they changed the format to 2 out of 3 to 12 points. I mean, who plays the 12 points in any, you know, it was just so random, but it was 2 out of 3 to 12, win by 1. Usually on volleyball, you have to win by 2. So we get down 11-8 in the first set, 11-8. And we knew if we could somehow win that first set, we'd be in the driver's seat because the pressure would switch over on their end. They were the number one team in the world. They had won 6 or 7 tournaments that year. They were the number one seed in the Olympics. We were number 9. We had played them 4 previous times and lost every time. But every time it was really close, you know, 15-13, 16-14. You're really close. So we knew and we put our focus on the fact that if we played the best that we could play, because a lot of people go into matches thinking, oh, I have to beat these guys. I got to beat them, you know, and it's, you get all tight and tense. Instead, we challenged ourselves to play at the level we knew we were capable of because of our preparation and our training. But it's hard to play your best. You know, if we were going to play our best, they were going to play their best, it was going to be a dogfight. So we challenged ourselves instead of externally beating them, let's play our best and see what happens. And down 11-8, we came back and won 12-11 12-11. I'm still confused on the scoring. 12-11, and now the pressure turned, and they had all the pressure on them. And in the second set, they tightened up a little bit. We took advantage of them, and you know, in the end, it was an incredible feeling. And you saw at the end how surprised I was that at the end there was no more matches to play, no more points to play. And, you know, we got to the top of the podium. And then I brought this for you guys as well. So I'll pass it around. So it was, I mean, an unbelievable feeling, and I had never seen a gold medal before and or held one. So you can imagine how happy we are stepping to the top of that podium and beating a team that on paper was supposed to beat us, and no one had given a shot to win. And it's just, you know, a lot of people ask me, has it changed me as a person? Not really, but it changes people's perception of you, because you have reached a level, just like, you know, when you're teaching the kids to get a degree. That degree, it doesn't matter usually what it's in, it's, you've gotten to that certain level. So it's a pretty cool thing, the fact that it's so well respected, I guess, throughout the world, and everyone knows what an Olympic gold medal is. So that's been a lot of fun. I had to bring it out of the safe. And I've been carrying it with me, you know, the whole time. It's not something you leave in the car. But yeah, but I trust you. But I think this, you know, this program is awesome. And talking about it with Mindy, and hopefully we're going to continue to work on in the future. But the bottom line is the program is a program, and the strength of it is in you and the people that are implementing the program. So you are the nuts and bolts. You guys are awesome. You are the ones who have decided to make a difference, to inspire and to push kids to another level. But the bottom line is, I think what's most important is the kids need to understand the game, because it is a game. My brother didn't get it. You know, he didn't get the game. Like, I love this sport, but I can't do it unless I keep the grades up. You know, kids need to know that they, you know, if they drop out, then what is it, 72% more likely to be unemployed if they drop out of high school. I mean, those numbers are off the charts. So you got to reach those levels. And it's people like you that, you know, I missed the program, obviously, because I didn't have it back in the day. But there was the people like yourselves that encouraged me to get on the right track. And hopefully, you know, I've done some positive things, and hopefully I can be an inspiration. But I just want to thank you guys. I know the 10-minute girl's itching at this point. So I'd like to, you know, congratulate you guys for all that you've done and all that you continue to do. And I appreciate you guys having me here, and I'll be around to answer any questions that you have. I know we didn't have a lot of time, but I'm here for you guys. So thanks for having me.